Today's first reading continues the theme of pilgrimage and journey. Last week, we talked about Abraham and his family setting out for parts unknown, following the prompting of God. But now we fast forward through many generations to the people of Israel in the desert. If we were to show this on film, we would see Abraham and Sarah settle into a nomadic lifestyle in Palestine. The birth of Ishmael, son of the servant woman Hagar, who would become the ancestor of the Arabic peoples, and then the birth and the near sacrifice of Isaac. We would see Isaac marrying Rebekah and the birth of their twins. We would see the family dysfunction which made the younger, Jacob, become the patriarch. Jacob courted Rachel and eventually married both her and her sister Leah and had a total of 12 sons who would give their names to the 12 tribes. One of these was Joseph, who was sold into slavery in Egypt, but rose into power and welcomed his family when they came looking for food in the middle of a famine. And there the people of Jacob, who was also known as Israel, stayed. And they flourished until they became a threat to the Egyptians. And they suffered the same fate as many ethnic minorities today. They were persecuted and enslaved by the Egyptians. Yet we are told that God heard their cry and sent a rather reluctant Moses, who was wanted for murder, to bring the people out of Egypt. Which gets us to this morning's reading. This story of the Exodus is the great foundational story of the Jewish people. God brought them out of slavery into the promised land on the way, making them into a recognizable people with laws and culture. Archaeology does not provide us with evidence of such a mass exodus from Egypt, but this is a story which has deep, deep truth within our faith narrative, even if we are uncertain of the facts. It is a story of the ancient Hebrews, but it is also our story. And it is the backstory to the Apostle Paul's faith and theology. In this morning's short reading from his letter to the Romans, we heard that while we are weak, like the slaves in Egypt, Christ died for us, thus proving God's love. The people of Israel saw God's love in bringing them out of Egypt. We see it in bringing us out of sin and reconciling us with God. The theme of Exodus, of God's loving love, bringing God's people out of exile through the wilderness and into the promised land, is like a steady drumbeat. There are many Filipino families who live in the numbered streets of Los Osos, and from time to time they have a party. They gather in a house on the next block from where I live, and it's good to hear their laughter and know they're enjoying themselves, but their sound system has a very loud bass. Yesterday, the road was full of cars and the beat of the drum was an endless boom, 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 boom. We heard nothing else from the party, just this ongoing, ongoing, relentless rhythm of the bass. And that is how the theme of Exodus pulses in our lives, pulses through our spiritual lives and permeates our understanding of God and God's call. We are always being called forward. Always being called to leave the wilderness of sin and move into the promised land. And as the prophets tell us, the promised land is not so much a place as a way of being. It is the way of being that is completely countercultural, one which frees us from living in slavery to the expectations and demands of our culture. One which frees us to live like Jesus did, a life of love and justice, trust and peaceful resistance, a life lived in harmony with creation and our Creator. And for some reason, we expect that to be easy. We expect the promised land to be handed to us. We have this idea that if we do the right thing, if we live spiritual lives, that we will be in the flow and everything will work out for us. There are strong voices in the Old Testament which support this view. Voices who say that kings who followed God were victorious in battle, and that it was the ones who screwed up who lost the kingdom to the Assyrians and then the Babylonians. But there are also other voices. For example, Job, who lost everything but stayed faithful to God. And today's story. We hear the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. If they were traveling in stages as the Lord commanded, how come they ended up in a campsite without water? What was God thinking? Was God paying attention or not? Clearly, God was paying attention and God did provide water, but it was not immediate. And I think this highlights a deep disconnect between our wish for God to respond the way that we want God to respond and God's fundamental freedom. God is totally and completely free. God does not have to do what we want. God does not have to do anything, which makes God's grace so amazing. By God's free gift, which he did not have to give, she is offering us in every moment the opportunity to be reconciled with her, to find a new way of walking in harmony, of living in harmony with God. A couple of weeks ago, we recalled the foundational story of Adam and Eve. We are told that when God came to walk with them in the cool of the evening, they hid from him. God gave humanity the gift of freedom, and we used it to turn away from God. God is calling us back, calling us to be reconciled and to walk in the cool of the evening in communion with one another and with God. God chooses, in God's total freedom, God chooses to love us and all of creation. God chose to send his child to become human so that by faith we might have access to the grace that brings us into peace with God. But God does not always respond in the way that we want or expect. When Dave Arm resigned and we did not find another musician, I felt that I must be doing something wrong, that perhaps I was not praying properly or listening to God correctly. I discussed that with my spiritual director, who asked whether it had always been true that when I did the right thing, good things happened. And I had to confess that no, that hadn't always been true, and realized that in fact, Jesus did all the right things and he got crucified. There are no guarantees that God will intervene in our lives in the way and at the time that we want God to. Because God is not a vending machine. God is a wild and astonishing being whose nature we can only glimpse. And God chooses to be in relationship with us. The people of Israel camped where there was no water. I don't know why. Whenever I went backpacking, it's the first thing we looked for. But there they are. It says the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" When things got difficult, they blamed their leader. Instead of turning to God, they blamed Moses. Instead of trusting God, they revolted. Even though God is completely free, God is in covenant with God's people. God will accompany us and bring us through the desert every time, but it may not be pleasant. Paul writes, "Suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And whenever I read this verse, I remember Steph saying, but suffering doesn't produce endurance, and endurance doesn't produce character. Well, we may not agree with Paul, we may agree with Steph, we may not think that suffering eventually leads to hope, but in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the confusion, we can be sure that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We can be sure that God is still here with us. God was still with the people of Israel, even though in the face of severe thirst, they doubted it. God was still bringing them out of bondage into new life. So let us not get discouraged when things are not happening easily. Let us not be discouraged when we thirst for God and God seems to have turned away. Rather, let us listen for that drumbeat deep in our souls, deep in our faith community. For God is always leading us. God is always bringing us out of Egypt, through the desert, not necessarily by the quickest route, into our new life in Christ. Let us choose to follow.